Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Baby, oh baby, oh baby, we've got baby news. And if you think that Tristan Wirfs and Baker Mayfield are good buddies now, haha, well, just wait. Because now they're both first-time fathers. And it happened really within, I don't know, a couple weeks of each other, to be honest with you. If you recall, back around the beginning of April, April 3rd, Julius Patrick Wirfs was born to Tristan and his girlfriend Meredith Sutton, a beautiful baby boy. And when I say baby, yes, Tristan is a large man. I think you can probably put this guy in the NFL in about 20 years. He is Tristan-esque when it comes to that. And then on Tuesday at around 7:30 p.m., Kova Jade Mayfield was born. And this little girl, not so little, 9 pounds, 2 ounces. And I love the baby pictures. In fact, there's one which was really cool, I think, that I saw on Sunday. And I posted this on X at NFL Stroud if you want to take a look at that. There's a photograph, and I don't know whose house it is. I'm guessing maybe it's Baker's. I'm not sure. He bought a new home in Davis Islands. But there's Tristan with his little boy, Julius. And then there's Baker with his little girl, Kova Jade. And they're just sitting there, and they got the Masters on TV in this kind of like, you know, family room area. It's beautiful. It's everything. It's such a great shot. And their lives, as we all know as fathers, will never be the same.
So is Tristan's kid's job to protect Kova? Just like Tristan's job is to protect Baker?
I think so. And I think that he's purely capable of it right now, as a matter of fact. I don't know if he's walking, but I bet you he's in a 4-point stance if he needs to be. I would expect that she has a bodyguard already. And there were some cute posts on Instagram. And the one with Baker Mayfield holding his little girl, and his wife Emily posted that, and she said, she's truly everything we prayed for and more. We're enjoying life as a family of four. Fergus, which is their dog, is so gentle and curious. Daddy is so smitten, and I can vouch for that. And Mama wants to pause time and make these days last forever. And boy, oh boy, do they go by fast. Even though you feel like you're in a tunnel, it really goes fast. And then she shared another picture of Kova Jade and Baker and the dog. And she said that my heart could explode at any minute. I swear, Baker was born to be a dad. It's going to be a different year for him. Sleep will be an issue, maybe. But no, it's great news. And it is interesting. Like, those two guys, you know, became fast friends as soon as Baker got here. Baker's no fool, right? He cultivated the guy that was going to protect his backside, literally. And you saw them. In fact, I think you were at the Lightning game. Wasn't Tristan there like within a week after his son was born? I believe he was at.
He was there Thursday night. Yeah, Thursday night. So that's over a week after he was born.
Right. Got a hall pass. Nice going, Tristan.
Yeah. Tristan Wirfs was there. Richie Palacios was there from the Rays.
Yeah. So, and the Lightning, of course, we'll get to them, but they're getting ready to begin the playoffs. They have two more games at home before their postseason begins. But yeah, just good vibes all the way around with the Bucks. And of course, today, as a matter of fact, begins their offseason workout program. I'm guessing we might have some baby talk going on. In fact, I'm wondering if I should bring a gift? Like, what do you do? Like, you get something blue and something pink for the two of them. I'll bet you somebody in the media, maybe not me, because I don't know if I have time to go shopping, but we'll see. I bet they're giving a bunch of, I bet somebody comes with a rattle or something, right? To give these children. But But it's a cool, it's a feel good story, and of course they're very close friends, as are Meredith and Emily. They're close friends as well. So Baker settled down. Like I said, he has a house now in Davis Islands. This is his home. He's got that 3-year, $100 million deal, depending on how you want to break it down. And yeah, it's all systems go. And now we're getting ready for the draft. We're going to see what players they can surround him with and see if they can improve that offensive line with Tristan Wirfs. And they could use a guard, maybe a center. So it's going to be an interesting draft. The Bucks don't pick till the 26th overall pick right now. But lots of stories coming up these next couple weeks on the draft in the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBay.com. So you want to make sure you you stay tuned for that. Hey, it was a good weekend for the Tampa Bay Rays. They took 2 out of 3 against the Giants. What do they say? They meatloafed them? Was that the Joe Madden term? If you meatloaf these guys, you're in pretty good shape, right?
Meatloafed them, including beating up on former Ray Blake Snell.
I know. How about that? I think Kevin Cash should have got him about the 6th inning or so. Did he even last that long? I don't know.
When did they pull him out? I mean, he gave up, it was 7 early.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Well, I was at the game, but I don't remember exactly which inning they pulled him out.
How about your boy, Rene Pinto, swinging a healthy stick,
so
couple
of
home
he
runs.
Crushes one to center.
Yeah.
Then he hits
batter's
one.
Batter's eye.
Yeah, I yes. Mean, then he hits one oppo,
okay,
the right field.
And then batting as a right-handed hitter, right?
Yes,
again,
yes, he's righty. And then his next at-bat, he crushes one to left field, but foul.
So he could have had 3.
He could have had 3 to all the different fields.
The hat trick to all different fields. Wow. Yeah. What got into him, man?
It was great to see.
Yeah. They finally broke out of it. You know, Arozarena had a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like some of their bigger guys kind of showed up. Of course, they've been getting production, not from Yandy Diaz or Arozarena like they would hope.
No.
But from everybody else.
Yeah, it's been, what, Rosarena's average?
Barely. We came into the game, he was under 200.
Yeah, yeah. And Yandy's like at 220 coming in or 215, something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, it hasn't been those guys leading the way. And so, look, Yandy's not hitting very well. Randy's not hitting very well. And you're sitting above 500. Like, you'll take that.
9-7. You'll take it all day. And then you got guys like Rosario, I think. And, some of the other
Jose
guys.
Jose Siri has been great on the bases. Batting average is pretty low, though.
Right.
You know, but they're finding ways to get it. And Tyler Alexander today looked great.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good outing for him. Yeah, I mean, of the 3-game series, you look at it and you go, well, you know, they didn't win game 2, so it's a 1-1 series. And now you're facing Blake Snell. That was his first, I didn't realize, it was his first appearance at the drop since he left.
Yeah, now he played the Rays once and shoved it up their rear ends.
Yes, he did, in San Diego.
Yes. Yes, it was not pretty.
They didn't touch him at all.
Yeah, this was his first time returning to the Trop.
Right, as a 2-time Cy Young Award winner. And they did a nice tribute, and he talked glowingly. I don't know if you saw Mark Topkin's story in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com, but, man, he talked glowingly about being in this organization. You know, I had forgotten how many years this guy spent some time in the minors now.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. 4 or 5 years. It was not the express to the majors.
Could you say that he was the best homegrown Major League Baseball product that the Rays have drafted and developed? I mean, Longo's up there.
David Price would be in that
Price
conversation.
David Price would be up there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, 2-time Cy Young Award winner?
Well, that's the thing. He's got the resume. So, I don't, you know, he didn't do it for them, but that's who he is.
But I'm just saying as a player. I'm not saying in the Rays organization. I'm just saying.
As a player, yes.
Drafted, homegrown.
I think you could make an argument.
System.
Yes. I think you could definitely make an argument that Blake Snell may have been the most productive guy they've drafted, all things considered. The 2 Cy Young Awards, the fact that he pitched them to a World Series, let's not forget that, and pitched very well in the series. Of course, the controversial removing in the 6th inning there, Game 5. But, yeah, or was it Game 6?
Had they won that,
yeah, five, they
would
have
gone to
Game
7.
They would have gone to Game 7. It's a great debate. Longo, I mean – you know, he certainly has an argument, right? And then there's even Carl Crawford and some other guys.
Well, right, Longo's that, the greatest Ray.
Yes. Yes.
Because of longevity, and he owns almost every hitting record.
Every
and,
record, you know, yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm. You know, he's probably, at this point, the greatest Ray.
Right.
But, I mean, Blake Snell's won 2 Cy Youngs, 1 in each league.
Yes. Impossible to do. You know, just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. And the funny thing is that when he won it for the Padres, he did not get off to a good start.
No.
You go back, and his first 5 or 6 starts were rough.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't until about mid-May that he started turning it on.
Yeah, and then when he turned it around, I mean, he turned it around. Like, nobody was getting anything off of him.
Which you wonder if he can do that again this year. I mean, remember, he didn't have a spring training. He signed late.
He got there late, yeah.
You know, so he's still kind of ramping up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think they may have gotten lucky and gotten him at the right time. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure there was some emotion involved with that. I think they also knew, and let's you know, familiarity, you know, being an edge sometimes, Kyle Snyder is over there, right? Mm-hmm. And with Snell, and I've seen other teams do this, you have to ambush him a little bit, right? You do not want to get – most teams will swing early in counts because you don't want to get 0-2, 1-2. Like, if he's ahead of you, he's going to beat you. So a lot of teams come out and they're jumping on, you know, first pitch strikes or and again, I didn't watch the game. My guess is that they ambushed him a little bit. I don't know where his location and all that was. I mean, you don't expect Rene Pinto to hit 2 home runs, right? No. I mean, it's a hell of a nice day if you get it, and they got it. But everybody hit pretty much up and down the lineup in this game, you know? So again, it was good to see a Rosarena come through. It was good to see, you know, some of the bats that haven't been that active, you know. And they talked to Rosarena, of course, through their interpreter, Manny Navarro, but it was interesting that he said, nothing's really changed. He goes, I'm swinging the bat like I always have. I'm just not getting all the results, which, I don't know. Maybe that's true, but certainly would go for the results a little bit right about now. But what's encouraging is, like you said, Steve, they're now a couple games over 500, and their best players haven't really hit their stride, you know? So there's a lot of room for improvement, you know? Isak Paredes is off to a pretty good start.
He had another home run today.
Yeah, he hit a bomb.
And Rosario hit one.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're getting the contributions they need. Meade's playing well. I mean, some of the new guys are certainly working out. So you like that. But Pinto was interesting because I think I had a feeling, you know, just of course they need left-handed bats, and their other catcher, you know, Pinto's a switch hitter, but the other catcher swings from the left side. And I was thinking, because he got off to a little better start, that maybe Pinto was being forgotten a little bit. I didn't realize how many years Pinto had been in the Rays organization. He goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like I was listening to the broadcast, and as late as like 2019, he was the backup catcher in AA. That doesn't seem that many years ago to be a backup catcher in AA. And all of a sudden, like the last two to three years, the bat came around, really came around, and he started hitting. So, yeah, man, if he wants to hit some bombs, that was the right time to do it.
And a nice pregame ceremony inducting Dave Wills into the Rays Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was cool. It still seems it's been a year, a little over a year now since we lost Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still sort of that gulp mentality, I think. But this was more, or tried to feel like more of a celebration of his career and of just what he meant to the Rays. And I mean, you know, this Hall of Fame stuff, they haven't been at it very long. There's not many names in there.
So, no, they started it last season, I believe.
That's correct.
Much like the Lightning, the same way. It's only been like 2 years for both organizations. And, when you know, you've only been around 25, 30 years. You can't start a Hall of Fame.
You
got to
wait. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But the names that are going in are all great names. And, you know, Dave Wills certainly deserving. And just always great to remember his calls. And not by accident. They maybe have played one of their better games on Dave Wills' Hall of Fame induction day.
So he would have enjoyed calling that game.
He would have. He certainly would have enjoyed. He would have enjoyed calling that game against Blake Snell and those 2 home runs by Pinto and just all the offense they had. They led from start to finish. It was never really
No, they did not. They did not. They gave up a run.
Oh, they gave up the runner. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. They did give up the runner. And then they got on top of him. And yeah, I mean, you beat a really good pitcher, and everybody knows how good Blake Snell is. It's good for them. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure about the Rays. I don't think anybody's sure about anybody right now, because you can't really look at the standings after half a month and say, I know what this team's going to be. But,
well, for instance, what? The Astros are in last place at 6-11.
Right. That's not going to last.
You've got, what, Kansas City's leading the AL Central at 10-6?
Yeah, that seems weird, too.
Did you expect that? No. Pittsburgh's 11-5?
Did not see that coming.
I mean, Oakland's better than San Francisco in the Bay Area?
Yeah. When you say Bay Area, you mean for now, because they're going to Sacramento for a couple of years?
Yeah, well, this year it's the Bay Area.
Yeah. Maybe the last year, we'll see. Yeah, no, it's you know, it's September. I guess you could say that, and it's a long way to September, October, but April can be a liar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're not going to win a division in April. You could knock yourself out of one if you have just a horrific month.
Yeah, you don't want to be chasing the season.
No, you want to be. I've always said this. You want to be around 500, and obviously, if you can stack games over 500, that's how you win 90. That's how you get to the postseason. But you don't have to do it in April or May. You know, there's time. You just can't have. And they had one of these years, like last year, where their June was horrific. Right, they were upside down big time. I don't think they won 10 games last June. And that kind of throttled them a little bit. But they had such a great start that they had some house money there. They were able to withstand that. But you just don't need, you know, one of those really upside down months that can really make it hard to get back, not just to 500, but, you know, try to leapfrog three or four teams in your division. So I've been impressed with some of the starting pitching, to be honest with you. It's the bullpen. I still don't get the walks, man. Like, I just... That's the one thing that is so antithetical to what the Rays have been, is that the amount of walks that the bullpen has had relative to the innings pitched, it's upside down.
It's got to be confounding Kyle Snyder, because it's not what the Rays do. It's not the type of pitchers that they seek to put in their staff.
Right. And some of these guys have pitched for them, right?
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's been contagious.
Yeah. It really is. It's like one guy goes out there and walks some batters. Well, we had it the other day with their closer, who once again walked the bases loaded.
Fairbanks.
Yeah. He did that. He did the same thing in Colorado in the game that they lost in extras. he did it again. He walked the bases. And that's really not him, you know. Now, they allowed him to, he kind of worked out of it, which was great to some degree, but. You know, it's just still, even the guys that you count on haven't exactly, you know, lit up the strike zone. So that's going to turn around. They're not going to walk this many hitters, you know, for the entire season. If they do, they'll need a new bullpen. But it's interesting. You started the season saying, oh, bullpen, by far, strength of their pitching staff. Hadn't really shown up that way yet. So when those guys level out and they start pitching the way they're capable and not walking guys, then you'll have something. But yeah, for right now, played some decent teams, went on a long road trip, won a couple series there, came home, won a series here. That's good baseball. That's what you want to do. So they've kind of weathered sort of a uneven start there for them. But they play well. So coming in next are the Angels, who they just played in Anaheim.
Angels again, yeah. So after this 4-game series, you're done with the Angels for the season. So
yeah. That'd be good. If they could just leave Mike Trout at home, that would be a good idea.
And then this weekend, you'll go to New York.
Ah, Yankees, first trip to the Yankees.
Yeah, okay. And they're hot. They're 12-4.
Yeah, they're cruising a little bit. But, you know, that's okay. It's a long season, and they're not afraid to play them at Yankee Stadium. So that'll be the first. Is that the first test of the AL East so far? They play Toronto to start the year. But, yeah, this will be their second AL East series, and this one on the road. So that'll be something to look forward to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Meanwhile, so I think I know the answer to this. I'm going to ask it anyway. Since the Tampa Bay Lightning have clinched, they have lost 3 out of 4 games. Now, they lost them to teams that are battling their asses off, including Washington the other night, that have to win.
Yes.
Like, there's, you know, they are in, they have not clinched, and they are teams that have to win to try to make a postseason berth. Particularly the Capitals and others. Concerned, expected. I don't know really that it's that. It's obviously not that important to the standings because they're in. But is this, what are we seeing? Is this human nature? Is it just the other team with more will?
Is it expected? No. Concerned? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
They clinched, which is their whole goal.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
We know this team does not care where they're seated.
Nope.
First seed, 8th seed, don't matter. Just get in. That's all they care.
Right.
And so they got in.
Mm-hmm.
So you exhaled a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you got in on an off night.
Sure.
Three teams lost in regulation. So then the next day you go out and play Pittsburgh, who desperate for points.
Right.
And you were down 4-1. You battled back and then gave up the goal after you tied it at 4-4. Okay, so you lost that game. You Washington on Saturday, a desperate team. Concern? No, not at all. Is this expected? I mean, you hope it doesn't. You know, John Cooper really didn't like some of the penalties they took.
Yeah,
on Saturday, you know, and called out his team for it.
He did, especially late in that game. Yeah,
you know, the things you always want to make sure is just you're playing the right way. Like, the results don't matter. The Lightning are the number one wild card, no matter what happens these next two games.
Yeah.
They're playing Buffalo, who's out of the playoffs, and it's their last game of the season Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what to expect from them. And then Toronto on Wednesday. Toronto's locked into the 3 seed in the Atlantic.
A little like the Lightning in that sense, yeah.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's locked into the number one wild card. The games mean nothing, like standings-wise. It's the biggest things you hope for is to get out healthy.
No injuries, yeah.
And then, you know, just fine-tune your game and make sure you're doing the things you want to do. Not
play the right way.
Yeah, play the right way. Although we've seen in years past, and the Lightning have limped into the playoffs, and everyone, you can't just turn on a switch, and then they get to the playoffs, and they turn on that switch.
They absolutely can.
You know, they've done it several times in the past.
Yep.
So it's like you said, is it something concerns you? No. Was it expected? Maybe a little bit. I mean, you always hope it doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But look, when the other team's desperate for points and you're not, like, that level of desperation matters. In the playoffs, it's even.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to race to 4 wins.
Yeah. That Washington game, you know, was very chippy. And of course, there was a pretty scary moment or moments, I guess. When Mikey Iseman, I didn't think that he didn't get any penalty on the play.
No. Well, they initially called a major.
Yeah.
Which they do so that they're allowed to review it at that point and see what happened.
Right.
And it was a legal hit. It just, you know, he got in front of him, checked him, and he kind of went flying into the boards.
And now, the good thing was somebody that John Cooper had coached before.
Yeah, coached him in the USAHL.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily he didn't go to the hospital and left with his family.
Yeah.
After the game. So, you know, that's all good news.
Right.
I assume he'll be out probably at least this week. Mm-hmm. We'll see what his status is to start the playoffs, but
yeah. Well, I mean, you hate any time they bring a stretcher onto the ice and everybody gets really quiet. The worst thing is it looked like maybe he was knocked out or unconscious for a minute.
He might've been.
Yeah.
But the fact they didn't take him to the hospital, maybe it wasn't that. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so.
What did you make? Okay, so that injury happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Iseman is a guy that was there.
Mm-hmm.
and contacted the player and all that.
Yep.
What did you make of them kind of running at him? I mean, it was expected, right?
He knew it was coming. And
but is that just...
That's the hockey code.
That's hockey etiquette, right? I don't know that I agree with it, by the way.
Look, if it was a dirty hit, I totally get it.
Right.
You know, that was not a dirty hit. There was no ill intention there.
Right.
It was a clean hit. I mean, they reviewed it and said no penalty. They didn't even just say, hey, it's a minor. They said no penalty.
Right.
But that's kind of the hockey code.
Yeah.
Is, you know, okay, you hit our guy, we have to go. I mean, that's what happens now. The game moves so fast is perfectly good hits require the whole team to come after whoever made a legal hit.
Yeah.
Like in the past, it used to be, you know, dirty hits you had to pay for. You had to answer for.
Yeah.
Now it's the game's moving so fast and players don't see it. They just see their teammate down on the ice.
I understand why they initially kind of jumped him or whatever. Yep. I understand the separation and the fights there. Nick Jensen, by the way, is the player we're talking about.
Yes.
It seems to be okay. And he's been, I think, in Washington for like 6 years or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, he's a good defenseman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A very offensive defenseman, I guess I say. But regardless, I get the initial sort of scrum. Like, hey, I didn't see what happened, but my guy got boarded possibly, and you're the guy that did it. What I don't get is, okay, for the rest of the night, first of all, they did drop the gloves off during one face-off. It was like, we're going to go, okay? Mm-hmm. And that, by etiquette, should have ended it, right? Like, you know, you're going to fight because you got it coming. But it was almost as if they were trying to take runs at the guy the rest of the night. I don't know that anything was illegal. There wasn't any penalties called, per se. But I don't know. If you watch the replay, you can see where the guy loses his feet, right? And it wasn't even a penalty, so there was no intent to board the guy. It wasn't like you boarded the guy or it was a dirty play. Mm-hmm. He made contact and he lost his feet and he slammed his head into the boards, which is awful. But it's also hockey. So, like, they got the replay there. You know what I mean? There's sort of this, I don't know, Neanderthal kind of like, well, we're going to go get him now. You know, eye for an eye right here. And they didn't do anything illegal per se, but it's just, I guess it's expected. And Isamont he took his medicine and he dropped the gloves and, you know, went at it. And that was kind of that was sort of the end of it. Crowd didn't like it. What I worried about was the crowd. And I thought they did a smart thing because they didn't know Jensen's condition. Mm-hmm.
There's
about a minute
early.
And 30 to go in the second period. They just said, let's go off the ice.
Yeah, well, and it makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. One, so you're not sitting there waiting. Like, let's go ahead and start the clock on the intermission and let the teams cool off a little bit, too. Like,
and the crowd, I think, too, right?
Yeah, probably. Probably diffuse, the crowd as well.
Diffuse the building a little, yeah.
Absolutely. They've done that a few other times before.
Check on the player. Let's see what his condition is.
Yeah. But that way you're not trying to rush guys off the ice either and –
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing I will say is you made that check and you know a fight's coming, and so you do the fight. I mean, the hope is even though the hit was legal, okay, now they're gonna fight. Like, that's the end of it. Like,
that should end it.
You know,
right,
I don't have to be looking over my shoulder the whole game, going, "What's coming?" Like, you know, that's the good part of the code or the etiquette or whatever else is that.
Yeah,
it should be okay.
It's one and done.
You answer the bell for this, and you know, now you don't have to sit there wondering what's coming the rest of the game.
Yeah,
so you can just play hockey.
Yeah,
you know that's what you hope happens and want to have happen.
Right. No, it got a little ugly. It was a little. It was a physical game. Obviously, Washington's fighting for their lives, and
they're a chippy team. I mean, the games between the Capitals and the Lightning have always been chippy, and
they've always been a heavy team. They don't score a lot of goals, right? Mm-hmm. They lean on you a lot. And so it's always that kind of in front of the goaltender. But listen, both goaltenders played really, really well. I thought Vasi played great in that game.
I'll be curious if Vasi gets both starts this week.
Well, we talked about this. We think that if he's not going to get them both, that he would get Wednesdays.
Yeah,
right?
I think I believe, and I thought last week he would not start Thursday and would start Saturday, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the other people I work with the Lightning thought Vasi would get both games last week. And I said, nah, they'll give him one off.
Yeah.
I think they give him tonight off.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him. But I guess it depends on the playoffs are scheduled to start Saturday the 20th.
Yeah, but you could play Sunday, right?
So I don't know. We don't know when the Lightning are going to start, although they may have an idea. The league may be telling them, hey, you're probably starting Sunday, you're starting Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. They may have an idea at this point. The matchups are starting to kind of, you know, we know Toronto's the 3 seed in the Atlantic. We know the Lightning's the number one wild card. Yeah. Boston's close to clinching the top in the Atlantic. I think they need 2 points and they have 2 games left, if I recall. They're a point ahead of Florida. Florida's only got 1 game left, so they need 2 points to clinch, and they have 2 games remaining. So, you know, at that point, it becomes Boston, Tampa Bay, Florida, Toronto. The Rangers are close to, there's only 1 game left for each of the Rangers and Hurricanes. Rangers are up a point. But Carolina does have the tiebreak. So, I mean, we're close to kind of figuring out the matchups. At that point, then they have a better idea of when they're playing. So I can't imagine they would let Vazzy play Monday and not play Wednesday, and then he wouldn't play again until at least Saturday or Sunday. That doesn't seem, he likes to play. He likes the rhythm. So you'd want him to start Wednesday for sure.
Yeah, the last memory you want him to play, the closest to the next game. Yeah. And really, and as much as everything, you know, rest versus what rest. I mean, he always wants to play. But I would say this. He could be his own worst enemy. All I care is that he makes it to the starting line of the playoffs.
Yep.
God forbid you play him one extra game and something happens and you get a guy tumbling in there into the goal and you lose your goaltender. So,
well, and the other part of this is he's playing. He's been playing great.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's not really like good. It's not like he's struggling a little bit and wants to work on some things.
No.
Like, he's been playing great. Like, you don't need to start.
No,
you
didn't need to work. Yeah. It's not like, I mean,
if it wasn't such a rhythm position, you'd almost rather give him both days off and just wait till the playoffs. But they're not going to do that because he's going to want to work. Yeah. And that's, they're creatures of habit. So,
right.
I think Vazzy sits tonight. I think he'll start Wednesday and then the playoffs will start this weekend sometime.
Yeah. And it looks like they'll get who?
Boston.
Okay.
Still could be Florida and still technically could be New York or Carolina.
Yeah. I hope it's not Florida, even though that's a great series. I'd like to see that down the road a little bit.
The odds are Boston, but it still could be any one of those 4 teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a long season, and that's what you play for. And, of course, the playoffs are the hardest ever. Got to win 16 games, and it's a war of attrition and all of that.
Yep. And speaking of playoffs, the Magic qualified for the playoffs, too. They're the 5th seed in the East, I believe.
Yeah. They had a hell of a year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not into the NBA and haven't been. The postseason I'll watch.
Yep.
But it's usually not.
They have the
play-in
tournament this week, and then the playoffs start this weekend.
Yeah, and the play-in tournament, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm okay with it. It's just, you know, I get it. It's programming. There's a little on the line, and, you know, it gives it sort of that NCAA feel, if you will, to some degree. And I get all that. But it's tough for me to watch the NBA fully until we get to the postseason, which is cool. So we're there. There's a lot going on. I mean, the draft is just less than 14 days away at this point.
No, it's shorter than that. It's
it's only about 11, 10 or 10
days away. 10 days
away. Yeah, 10 days away today. Yeah. So I better start like figuring out who's got the first pick. Is it Chicago? Yeah. Chicago is the first pick. Yes. You see what a draft Nick I am?
Traded from Carolina, of course.
Yes. Great deal by the Panthers, by the way.
Well, we'll see what Dave Canales does with Bryce Drew. Maybe it is. Maybe it was a good trade.
We'll see. I got some thoughts about Dave Canales. You should ask me about him this week because I've kind of heard some things, and I'm a little interested to see how that all goes.
Okay.
I'll tell you why later this week. But, yeah, that's going to be a big draft, obviously, for them. Listen, the Bucks have some key positions they need to address. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that pretty much the next 2 weeks. But and you don't know how it's going to fall. I know this. Jason Light loves to draft offensive and defensive linemen. He understands that football is won in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely need another edge rusher. They did cover themselves a little bit in free agency. But by the same token.
And that's something he's learned.
Yes.
Because early on in his GM career with the Light or the Bucks, he didn't draft linemen.
No.
We complained. No. We critiqued that.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a lot of receivers and defensive backs and
a lot of defensive backs.
And wasn't building the
some
trenches.
Tight ends and
And now he does it a lot.
Yeah.
And now you see the team's a better team.
Yes. And the thing is that And this is, you know, when they were a Super Bowl team, obviously Tom Brady gets all the credit, and he deserves a lot of it, most of it perhaps. But Tom Brady can't function at 43 or any other age. The two guys that really took a bite out of them was Ryan Jensen and his injury, which cost him his career. And he missed two seasons after they signed him to that $26 million deal. And then Ali Marpet retiring. You know, Ali had just made his first Pro Bowl. He's 28 years old. And they did not expect it. And you lose center-guard combination like that, those two guys, Pro Bowl-level players, right under the quarterback's feet, I don't think they've adequately replaced either of them. You know, they've struggled. First, you know, they tried to play Luke Getteke at left guard, and of course now I think he's settled at right tackle now. And then you had Matt Filer, who kind of an older player, didn't really work out. You know, Aaron Stinney stepped in there for a while, and he's a free agent again. So I know Robert Hainsey is a smart guy, and he's held up, but holding up is not what you want out of the center position. Like, well, you held up. Well, you know, they're used to a guy that comes off the ball and is kind of a road grader in the run game, a really good protector type guy. Now, Robert's very smart. He can make all the calls. That's probably his strength, is that he understands the position so well. But he was a tackle in college and not the most physical guy. And so, you know, I see a lot of these mock drafts, and I see them linked in with the 26th pick with a lot of centers. And I don't think that's an accident. I think people look at this team and they know Jason Light and they say, hey, you just signed Baker Mayfield to a $100 million contract. You've got to learn to run the ball. You've been 32nd the last 2 years in rushing average, even with Rashad White, who was 10 yards short of 1,000 yards rushing last year. And if you're going to make something happen on offense, you're going to have to protect the quarterback inside, and that means improving the interior offensive line. You know, Cody Mauch, who came last year, was a converted tackle, another guy, you know, from a smaller school, but Central Michigan. But he had to make the adjustment. You know, they've done that in the past, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. They like Mauch, right? But by the same token, what about the other guard position? What about the center position? I still really know in my mind that there's going to be some offensive linemen, especially some centers, pushed down to them. It'll be hard for them to ignore that unless, you know, there's just a great player sitting there at any position. You don't want to be hostage to a position. I don't think they're hostage to the center or guard spot. They obviously, you know, went and got some guys in free agency. Again, Jason's done a good job of covering all, touching all the bases. He can line up and play tomorrow and have a, you know, probably – I think the best team in the NFC South without drafting a player, but you'd sure like to add to it. And so, you know, they can take the best player available. They need receiver help. They need so much. We'll talk a lot more about that, and we'll have a chance to talk to the Bucs today as they start their offseason workout program, April 15th. We'll see. It's voluntary. We'll see who shows up. I would expect good attendance. Like I said, there might be some baby talk out there. Maybe
does Baker and Tristan get pardons or, you know, excused absences for
no? I don't. I don't think you get the parental leave right now. I think that you know, I unless they need help. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but I don't think you ask for the leave right yet because it's OTAs. I mean, so you're there really till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's really all they're asking. So. But we'll have some players we'll get to talk to, so that'll be fun. Finally, a tradition like no other, that's Scottie Scheffler winning every tournament. Remember when we started, would you take Scheffler or the field? I think I said Scheffler. Too bad I don't trust my own betting advice because I would have won. And I'm not a genius for saying that because he's beating everybody at every tournament right now. Ends up with an 11-under total.
I saw a tweet, and I wish I could remember who tweeted it, and I may not get all the details correct, but the basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
What Scottie Scheffler's won in the last 35 days.
Okay.
His caddy, if he took 10%,
mm-hmm.
the traditional 10%, would make something like $1.2 million.
In the last how many days?
35 days.
So in the last month, his caddy has made $1.2 million.
Well, assuming he gets
the traditional 10%. If you take the 10%. That's so that means he's made $12 million.
He would rank 54th on the PGA Tour in earnings this year.
The caddy would?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, man, I'm in the wrong business. I'm not sure I could tell Scotty what club to use, but I'm not sure he needs me to either. Let's be honest. That explains the very tight bro hug at the end of this tournament, because he was dropping a million something in the guy's pockets. That's unbelievable. But it is that relationship, right? That mm-hmm. you're a team out there, mm-hmm. you know, and all the golfers give credit to their caddies and say, we did this and we, because they really feel that way. But that guy was nails, man. I don't know if he had more than five bogeys in this tournament, I'd be shocked. And nobody was scoring. This was not an easy, the wind from day one was howling. You know, the greens were dried out. They were fast. I mean, you know, were they liken it to trying to stop the ball in the hood of your car? You know what I mean? Like, it just rolls. But, he's the world's number one for a reason. And it had a great backstory. His wife, speaking of pregnant, she's due within the next 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, he said he would have left in the middle of the round had she gone.
Even if he was winning, he says, I'm out of here. Yeah. And they're like, well, what if she didn't tell you? He goes, well, she better tell me if she went into labor. But apparently everything's okay there. What a week. What a couple weeks for him. Second Masters in 3 years. Just doesn't happen very often. He's already on the verge and or a Hall of Fame golfer at this point. So, yeah, just incredible. Tiger Woods was fun to watch for a couple rounds. He was like a plus one. Turns out you didn't have to shoot way under par to be in this thing. Like I said, you know, minus four got you third place, right? So you just had to be a couple of shots under par. Tiger was right there at plus one for two rounds, and then he kind of blew up on Saturday and Sunday, mostly Saturday. But, yeah, so but it was still great to see him. I mean, I just hadn't played golf, and he's really good at Augusta, and he feels like he has a chance to win. He said it after Saturday's round or Friday's round. He's like, look, I'm right there. I have a chance to win. And he did until Saturday came. But it was fun. Always great. And Vern Lundquist, by the way, and we talk about broadcasters all the time. They did a great interview with him on CBS. This was his last Masters, his 40th year. This was always going to be the plan that he would retire after this tournament. And I think they had him at Amen Corner, if I'm not mistaken. But you talk about a guy that is the soundtrack of a lot of major sporting events, especially in golf. Two of the greatest calls in golf, Tiger Woods, remember that long twisting putt that he mm-hmm. had to win the Masters, and then Jack Nicklaus on his last Masters victory at like 45, 46 years old, when he rolls in that putt and he gives it the yes sir, you know, and all that, just chilling. The great thing about Vern Lundquist, and he learned that working with other announcers too, is that he would say with emotion what everybody was thinking, and then let it go, let the moment take care of itself. He would back out of it so quickly. It wasn't about his words, but he had an economy of words, but he had the emotion right, and that's what made him so great. So many great calls. And I loved him in SEC football as mm-hmm. well.
That's what the great ones do.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you know, there's a million announcers out there who can talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best ones, you know, the Vern Lundquist, the Vin Scullies, you go through the list of, they say what needs to be said in as few of words as possible.
Yes.
But as clear as possible.
Yes. And they capture the moment.
They capture, and then they let the moment be the moment.
And then they let you enjoy it. Yeah.
You know, Joe Buck has done that on many baseball calls.
Yes, he has. He really has. Joe Buck is phenomenal.
You know, they it's an economy of words,
mm-hmm.
but there's such clarity with those words.
Right.
And then they let the moment speak.
And isn't it funny how you remember how the Hall of Fame broadcasters, right? We're talking about Lundquist, Vin Scully. Like Vin Scully, people forget, like he not just the voice of Dodgers baseball, mm-hmm. obviously, all those years, but also called a lot of NFL games.
And yes, he did.
A lot of big NFL games. And the one I remember was the Dwight Clark catch, because later in life I got to meet Dwight Clark and all of that. And unfortunately, he contracted ALS, and I wrote that announcement for him and stuff. But that throw from Montana to Clark in that NFC Championship game, which started the 49ers dynasty, they beat Dallas in that game and won their first of five Super Bowls. If you go back and listen to it, it is just that, right? Montana, looking, and then he goes, and then touchdown, Dwight Clark, and then he backs out of it, and the place is going bananas, and he says one thing, it's a madhouse in Candlestick, and it was. The place was coming apart, and they let – it was all pictures after that, and I'm telling you, that's one of the – that call still gives me goosebumps because think about what the catch meant, right, in NFL lore, right? And he called it. And, of course, the Kirk Gibson homer. I mean, so many great calls. And Lundquist is the same way. College football, the Masters, all those golf tournaments.
College phenomenal. Basketball. I mean, he's done.
College basketball, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best. And sad to see him go. And the respect, you know, they asked Tiger Woods about, of course, he's seen that call 100 times with that twisting putt at the Masters. And he was very complimentary about him in the press setting. And then there was a moment in Tiger's last round where Vern is sort of, for lack of a better place, perched under a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where he sits to call where, the action. Where, you're where out of the way.
Calls the action. And amen. Corner, yeah. And then Tiger walks by, and you see this picture of Tiger, and then there's Vern. And then Tiger comes by and shakes his hand for the last time. It's just really, really something. You know, two giants like that. Who knows if we'll see either one of them again, right? Like, you just don't know how long Tiger's going to play the Masters. And 24 straight cuts he's made, which is a record. Unbelievable, the success he's had at that course. But that was cool. It was a cool weekend. Because I'm a big Vern. I love announcers. I love Vern Lundquist. That was great. All right, well, we got lots to talk about tomorrow. The Rays begin their series with the Angels, and that's a four-game set. And then the Lightning are hosting the Buffalo Sabres. We'll have the Bucks beginning their off-season workout program. So lots to talk about tomorrow. Thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.